Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White of Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome back to the FemNation podcast. Today, I have a wonderful guest, Ariana Sylvester. She went from a reluctant spouse to successful entrepreneur by building not one, not two, but three successful businesses, which has enabled both her and her husband to leave their jobs in their early 30s. She now partners with her husband to help others achieve financial freedom via their Lifestyle Builders podcast, coaching programs, and upcoming book. So, Ariana, thank you for being on the show today.
Yay! Thank you so much for having me.
And I super look forward to this total jam session about being entrepreneurial women. So I'm way excited. let's dive in first to the main question. Where did this entrepreneurial journey start for you?
Yeah. So for me, it was really a gradual start. Obviously, you heard in my intro there that my husband and I have not one, not two, but three businesses.
Yes.
And it was definitely Tom motivated from the very beginning. He had that entrepreneurial itch or bug or whatever you want to call it. He had this goal to be retired, quote unquote, by 35, which at the time I just thought was like a crazy, like something you say. I don't know. I didn't know if that was like for real, if he just got this idea and thought it was cool. So I think back then I kind of just brushed it off as like, oh, well, that sounds great, honey. You do that. And kind of had that traditional path laid out in front of us that I just thought we would follow. So after we graduated college, we were freshman year college sweethearts. After we graduated college, that was when we started our life together and moved in together. And he proposed about a year into living together. And it was not until after that where he kind of started thinking about like what the path forward was going to be, where he didn't want the cubicle life. His degree was in software development, and he kind of looked ahead and was like, ugh, I don't want to sit in a cubicle for 40 years. Like, what was I thinking? So he kind of took this like side turn, and I wasn't in his brain, so I didn't know any of that was happening, you know? And his first touch upon this whole goal he had to retire was when we moved into a house together. He originally wanted to buy a duplex and live in one half and rent the other half out. And I, being the young, engaged, soon to be married spouse, was like, what are you talking? No, no, we're not going to buy a duplex. Are you crazy? I don't want to be a landlord. So, you know, that was kind of like the first point where you can see in our story that our paths differed a little bit. So of course I got my way and we bought a house and, you know, just a one floor ranch, starter home. And after that, it kind of, I think it flared up in him because he didn't get that start. He was like, I have to find a way to do this. So he started looking into different things like the stock market and like all these different opportunities. And back then the online space wasn't really around. So there wasn't where you could go on and be like, how can I make money on the side? So he looked into real estate because that's kind of where he had started and ended up going to a training and buying a real estate training program for like almost $8,000. He spent a lot of money and he did it without telling me about 8 months before we were supposed to get married.
Ooh.
And 6 months after we had bought the house. So like financially, probably not the best idea. But that right there was the first point where I noticed that this was for real for him. And we kind of had to come together on like, okay, this was not the plan, at least in my head. What is the plan now? Like, are we aligned on what we want out of life? So I still at that point was not an entrepreneur. I did not want anything to do with it. I said, okay, well, you've told me why this is so important to you. I support you in that. And we do want the same, we want the life down the line, but I don't want to have anything to do with real estate. Like, that's just not my jam. So he started down the real estate path. He bought his first property with his cousin. They renovated, they rented it out, kind of had the real estate bug after that. And then we started a business with his father, buying properties, fixing them up, and renting them out. So we officially have a rental property business. And somewhere in those first couple of years, he was still working his 9-to-5, and I noticed that he was struggling. He is not a very detail-oriented person. So like the whole office part, a paperwork piece, was just not his thing. And my job at the time was I was administrative assistant. So I was like, oh, well, we're married, we're partners in this. And even though I don't want to be an entrepreneur, I want to help you and I want to support you. So I'm willing to kind of step in and manage the office side of things.
Sure.
So that is where my first tread into entrepreneurship, I guess you could say, happened, was like taking on the role of managing the business. I didn't really want to own it. I didn't consider myself part of it, but I helped. So, of course, as the story progresses, we were on that path in life where after we got married, we wanted to have children. So the year that we had, when we were pregnant with our first child, I like to joke with everyone that Tom has a different version of nesting. It's not doing things in the home. It's starting a new business.
Hey.
Right? I guess that's just his version. So the year that we were pregnant with our first child, he decided to open a wine and liquor store. From scratch. It wasn't one that we purchased and like took over. It was an empty space. We bought a building with the real estate company and then opened the store in one of the commercial units. So again, I didn't really want to be an entrepreneur, but this was an opportunity. He walked me through like, hey, this is a business that if we run it well down the line, it can be bringing us income every month. It's a stable industry. Everyone always wants alcohol. So, you know, this, I think this would be really good for us. Okay. Again, I stepped in to help because I was able to stay home with our daughter and be kind of like a work from home mom. So I took on the management of that business. So again, I kind of stepped a little further into this role of being a quote unquote business owner. I didn't see myself as the full business owner because at the time it was, you can't have a liquor license here for more than one person. So like his name is on the business and it's only his name. So for a long time, I kind of just looked at it as like, it's his business. I'm just helping. So now we get to business number three and ta-da, also child number two. We got pregnant with our son, and that is when we dove into the online world. So here is where the story kind of comes to where I fully transition from reluctant entrepreneur into full-time entrepreneur. Now, I will say that out of the three businesses, this was the hardest transition for me because the online business was both of us. When we first started, everyone loved our story. They loved that we were building businesses together and raising kids and, you know, kind of had this, we had figured some things out and people were looking for help with that. So as we stepped into, here, let's help other people figure out how to do it too, that became a really uncomfortable space for me because I still didn't see myself as the entrepreneur. So for many years, I didn't see where my value was coming into helping people. I was kind of still seeing myself as like helping Tom help other people. And for a long time, that was it's a very hard mental space for me to be in because I'm a high achiever and I love doing things well. And I just was in a very confusing space because I didn't really see like, where do these two things match up? Like, I'm not really an entrepreneur. Like, how am I helping all these people? I'm not a business coach. I'm not all of these labels that, you know, get put out there. But I kept having Tom tell me and other people tell me like, you like, we want to talk to you. We want to hear from you. We want your take on this. So it wasn't until probably the last 2 years, I would say, that I kind of started having to look at myself and say, I can't say I'm an accidental entrepreneur anymore. I can't say I'm a reluctant entrepreneur. Like, I have to step fully into that title. Like, I'm an entrepreneur. My definition of what it looks like just looks different from other people's, and that's okay. So the last 2 years is when I would say that I really kind of stepped onto the path of 100%. I am also an entrepreneur, even though I didn't have a lot of tendencies or like personality traits of the people that I was seeing in the space.
So that raises a very interesting question. When you finally accepted, I guess accept's not quite the word I want to use, but when you finally allowed the clarity to realize that you are an entrepreneur, did you see a kind of a trajectory that changed at that point in the business for you?
I did. The trajectory changed. And I think in my head, the reason that I had been so resistant to stepping into that role was that I knew it was going to be a lot of work. And I knew it was going to be constant up-leveling, constant personal development, like all of these things that I had seen Tom go through and other people. I knew that that was what was in store for me. And I wasn't sure if I was ready to go there yet. I wasn't sure, like, is that really what I want? Like, I have to be 100% sure that that's what I want, because I know if I say yes, that I have a lot of hard work in front of me and a lot of struggles, especially I think the dynamic being Tom and I working together. It would have probably been different if it was just myself going through it. But I think trying to go through it together was like, oh my gosh, we have to do all of these hard things. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
What flipped the switch for you?
I think it was, there was a, I can't remember where exactly the conversation happened, but I basically, somebody showed me that I was needed, and I was needed in a different way than Tom was needed. So because for a long time, I kind of sat in his shadow. I was thinking like, oh, a business coach has to look like that because Tom's a business coach. Oh, helping people has to look like that because that's how Tom helps people. And I was holding myself to his level, but it was actually the opposite. Like people, he's amazing at what he does.
He is.
I was filling gaps that he doesn't have. And without that, something was missing. So I haven't shared this like publicly everywhere. I've talked about it a couple times. Last year, at the end of 2018, I actually took a break. I had a huge, massive burnout, depressive situation and had to step away from all three businesses for months. Went to therapy, was trying to kind of refine myself a little bit, and seeing that that's where I had gotten to. And then watching what happened when I stepped away made me realize that this doesn't work if we can't do it together. So then that was a little bit scary because, you know, as Tom's partner, as the spouse, knowing that if I step away from this, that's very much going to change his goals and his dreams. And I don't know if I want that. Like, I didn't want that dynamic between us to change. I didn't want him to resent me further on in life. If I said, no, I can't do this, we need to get rid of the businesses, or like, I'm not going to touch any of the businesses. I'm going to go back and get a job. So it was a time of confusion where I kind of just had to work through a lot of the thoughts and the emotions that I was having. And I think that session of burnout, like I had so much resentment and so much cynicism of all of the things that had been going on and like all of the things that I was seeing in the online industry, and like all of that just built up on top of me burning out. So it was like, I had to step away. I left social for those four or five months that I was gone. I left the businesses. I tried to just do a lot of self-care, a lot of self-reflection to try and figure out like, okay, am I looking at all of this stuff and not wanting to do it simply because of all of those years of buildup that I just didn't properly process through things? Or is this really just not what I want and I need to just make the decision to go and get a job and we'll figure out what our life looks like after that?
So what helped you be able to kind of feel into that compromise of coming back on the scene? What was that moment or that time frame or that aha that was just like, no, this is for me. This is what I'm doing. What was that?
think actually, funny enough, one of the moments that made me realize it was being part of a local mastermind here with 8 other women. And going to those sessions, At first I wasn't sure if I was going to join. I was kind of like, I'm just coming off this rough time. I'm not really sure where I'm at. But the person who was leading the mastermind basically invited me and said, I think you would be of really good value to the group, you know, being with all of your experience and the things that you've gone through. So I was like, oh, okay, that does sound really cool. Like to be surrounded by a group of women to maybe help some people. So I think in that, separating myself from Tom and going to something that was purely my own allowed me to kind of explore, okay, is this something that I want to be doing? Is this something that still interests me? And the answer was it 100% does. Mm-hmm. I love being involved in a group and in a space where I do provide value and I can help other people. And reflecting back on like all of the things that we have done, I know that I have a lot of knowledge and I have a lot of experience. I just had to step away from comparing myself to Tom all the time and really figure out like, where is my zone of genius? What are the things that I bring to the table? Mm-hmm. Because as people had told me before, and it never clicked. And I guess I heard them, but I wasn't really listening. I have my own version of value that I bring. I just needed to get back to what that was and then figure out how to grow my own self and not necessarily have to have it be this constant connection to Tom. Like we can work together, we can do things together, but we can still have our own things.
And you have to have some individuality in the partnership. You have to have that because otherwise you run into what you ran into, that you were filling gaps. You were filling the holes that you could see in the business, but it wasn't serving you as well in the capacity that you needed it to. You know, your gifts and your talents and what you guys do as a couple, you guys are a power team. No doubt, you know, but knowing that you have stepped into that light for yourself is just going to make you guys even that much more dynamic, you that much more on the scene and in the front saying, this is what I bring to the table. You can bring many different things to the table mm-hmm. because you're gifted, but saying this, I own this. This is my contribution to this partnership is very, very powerful. And needs to be talked about because there are many women entrepreneurs out there that are in tandem with a team or with a spouse in business and lose their identity in mm-hmm. it and can't find what that is. And they have to take that. You're so very, very good at recognizing and saying, stepping back because I got to see what works for me. And that's in life in general too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It just all happened at the same time for me. Like I had to, the whole identity thing was like, not just in the business, but also as a mother, as a woman, as a wife, like it, I just did it all at the same time.
we're going to take a hiatus for a moment and let me see what that looks like. The funny thing that you mentioned though, it's not funny, but very intriguing to me is that you talked about coming into the online space. So your third business. And I want to try to make a parallel here and see if this is actually something that resonates. But coming into your third business in the online space, do you think that there's a possibility that the hot and heavy into the online space from 2015, 2016 forward helped push you to that point of saying, stop, because the online space is very much in our face. Mm-hmm. And what brought you back is what so many women crave is the in real life community piece that is missing. It is so important, but that really solidified a piece for you. Talk to me about the online space and the piece of it that maybe was kind of a kicker over the edge that really shoved that too much in your face.
Yeah, you know, the online space, I tell people all the time, one of my favorite business out of the three is, I'll say like the liquor store, because for me, that was like, it was real, it was tangible, it was fun, it was different. The online space held such negative connotations for me for such a long time, because I think personally, I came into it where I wasn't in the right mindset to come into the online space. Like I very much wasn't sure where I was, who I was, what value I was giving, all of that. But on top of that, it's very, the online space is very loud. There's a lot of people telling you how you should do things and you have to do it this way. And you, there's like comparisonitis everywhere. I mean, like it happens in real life sometimes, but in online space, it's constant. You are constantly seeing other people, what they're doing, and comparing yourself to them or your business to their business. And I think over time, that can have a really negative effect on your own personal mindset. And it's so lonely because most of us are like, we're in our own homes. We're working right. from home. We're doing our own thing. Some of us still have 9-to-5s, but like those people can't really relate to what you're going through because they're not there. They're not in it. Your spouse, if they're not working with you, they're not there. They're not in it. So in all aspects, you're alone. And even if you're joining online communities, you know, like all of that is amazing and it's great. It's not the same as being in a room with somebody or a group of people offering you support and talking through the hard things. Now, I will say that being in the online space gives you great opportunities because not everybody has a local space that they can get into. Like right. a lot of people I know live in rural towns. There is no one else. Like they would have to drive an hour or two away to get to a city big enough to have an entrepreneurship community locally. So the online space does give you that, but it's really hard to find the people. It's really hard to find the right people who are going to come around you and you can get vulnerable and you can be open with to have some of the really tough conversations that you need to have. Mm-hmm. So I think the parallel for sure is, for me at least, bringing it back to basics, if you want to call it that, and like just being in a group of people in real life was what helped it click for me to where I show my value. And I think because of the person who organized the group, a lot of it was like knowing that the people in that group weren't going to judge me. We could talk about anything and everything. We very much just like bonded very quickly. So it was a good group of us that got together. And for the last, almost a year, I think we started in April. We've been meeting once a month in person and, you know, we have other events where we might see each other at locally as well. So it's been a really good experience to find a supportive group of people that I know that I can talk to and talk about hard things with. And I not only will get a listening ear, but sometimes I get advice or new perspectives back. Now that I've done that in person, I will say that I've actually branched out to doing that online as well and have put together a group of women that we meet once or twice a month on video calls and then we Vox in between. So that's been helpful too because not everyone in my in-person group is in the online space. Right. So it's good to have, like I kind of have both aspects going now, which has been amazing for me mentally and emotionally and just having my people. And it also gives me an outlet from working with Tom because, you know, we talk to each other every day, 24/7. It just complicates things and it brings issues up. Like we have different working styles. We have different communication styles. So this has given me an outlet to be myself, to ask the questions that I want to ask without fear of repercussions of like, oh, well, I just sidelined the meeting because I had an emotional response to something, you know? So it's been really helpful for me to have that support system.
So I want to touch on maybe what did it look like to set boundaries for the online space once you came back to it?
I definitely had a lot of struggle with social, figuring out what that looked like for me because it's very easy to get drawn back in. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this a lot between Tom and I. Our personality types are very different where he can like be in his own lane. He has blinders on. He's good to go. He doesn't care what anyone says. He doesn't care what anyone thinks except for his close circle of people. So he just does his thing and he keeps going. I am very much the opposite where I am thinking of what other people are feeling. I'm thinking of what other people are thinking and I'm very attuned to other people's emotions. So when you are in the online space, when you're on social media, it's very easy to get bogged down with all of that energy coming at you. And I think for me, it was really learning how to manage that and find a way to be present in a way that felt good for me, but didn't bring all the negative energy back. So setting my own personal boundaries, like knowing if I'm going to go on, I need to make sure that I'm going on for a purpose. Like, you know, obviously we all like to go on and like endlessly scroll through social just to see who's doing what and what's going on. But right. I try to limit how much I'm doing that throughout the day. I try to just not even open Facebook if I don't need to do something specifically on there. So I have certain times where it's like, okay, I better get on and check, do what I need to do, and then I got to turn it off. Same thing at night, you know, I'll be watching something and I'll be scrolling. I'm like, no. I should be present with what I'm doing with myself. Turn off the phone. Anything that happens can wait till tomorrow. So I'm making sure I'm taking care of my immediate connections. So our members that are in our programs, we have a Facebook group for that. I go on to take care of them. We have a group for our book launch, going to make sure that I'm interacting in there. And then giving myself time to interact with my relationships that I've made of, you know, friends or people that I've connected with, and then saying, okay, that's all I need to do. I'm done with social for now.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good wisdom on that too, because I have struggled with it in the online space. And I think it's a little bit of trying to determine what is my space in the online space, you know, without trying to project somebody else's or my assumption of somebody else's viewpoint of being online. And what makes it tough though, is that there's a lot of chatter on if you do this, or if you do that, or if you do this, or this is how you do. And then you get caught up, and next thing you know, you're not doing anything but just scrolling, you know? So it's a tool, and it has to be used in business as a tool, not a time suck, not a drain on your emotions, because it can be that. And as much as I love to see what people are doing, I have had to stop following people, still friends, and I'll go check and see what they're doing. When they pop up in my mind, I've got some free time, I just want to go look at their profile and see, hey, what's so-and-so up to? But I had to start doing that myself, because it did. I came on the scene in around 2017, and it just, all the things. And as an entrepreneur, your creativity gets, you know, you have this heightened awareness that all the things you can do, and then you crash and burn.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, I did it. I was up in Canada and I was like, I want to burn the whole thing down. And everybody else is like, you've done so well. I'm like, I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely hate what I've grown here. So I feel you on that. Oh my gosh. All day long, I feel that. And taking a break, and then, but you know, more importantly, as a woman, stepping back and looking and seeing, what is my identity in this?
Yes.
I know I have gifts. I know I can make a difference, but I need to know what this looks like and be direct on it. Men don't struggle with that as much as women do.
Nope.
And that's the difference. And I've got my in real life circle of women that I need to bounce it off of them. We meet once a month in real life, because and we're just kind of this, you know, we put together like a mastermind, you know, some of us work, but some of us have businesses. Some of us are in business, you know, there's different, but they bring different thoughts to it, to the meeting or to what we do, or we're just lighthearted because that's what we need at the time. So
yeah,
words of wisdom from Ariana, have an in real life component to it, because it's balancing and it will keep you grounded. The online space is not the worst, but it can drag you in the wrong direction. So
yeah,
much.
And I think it's tough too, like that, going through that whole identity thing and like being on social media, everyone talks about authenticity and like being real, and those are now buzzwords. What I think it's about is how do you want to interact on social? Because a lot of people will tell you like, oh, you're missing out on great opportunities if you don't use your social media for business. You might be, but that's your decision. You don't have to do it the way everyone is saying you have to. For me, it was very much a struggle to figure out how to come back on, because Tom and I are kind of building a lifestyle business. We're talking about lifestyle builders. We're teaching people, here's how you can set your life up and your business up to be in alignment with each other and reach the goals that you want to reach without having to listen to all the noise out there. So, you know, it didn't make sense for me to try and separate the two. So my personal profile, you never know what is going to be on there. It could be pictures of the cat, of the kids doing something crazy. It could be a podcast that we just had released that I share on our personal profile because I think it's relevant to anyone that's following me. It's probably a lot about the book launch over the last couple of weeks and the next couple of weeks.
Rightfully so.
For us, like my life is very much both things. So I refuse to try and separate the two. And a lot of people love Tom and I because we share the real part of life. Like we share the hard stuff. We talk about awkward conversations. You know, we talk about what happens when your spouse isn't on board with you and like what that can cause in your relationship. I talked about the whole popularity of the miracle morning and like why everyone tells you you should wake up early to be successful is bull crap because I don't want to wake up early. I'm going to figure out my own version of what successful means in my way. So, you know, I think being myself and learning what that was very important for me to then be able to show up how I wanted on social media. And I think I had to force myself to learn the skill of not worrying what everyone else thinks. Because that has been something I've gone through my whole life, being worried about whatever people are thinking. Like, did I hurt somebody's feelings? I had to step away from that. And like, in my mind, I'm telling myself, like, this is something important to me. I'm going to post it. I can't be worried if I offend somebody or if somebody gets turned off by it. Because when you turn it around, that's their choice. It's not like I'm calling people names or like doing anything crazy controversial. I'm stating an opinion on my personal profile. If someone disagrees with that, that's fine. But if they're going to think of me a certain way because of that, I probably don't want to be connected to that person anyways.
Right.
So, you know, it's really just, it's getting over those outside external expectations of how you should be and who you should be on social or in your business even, and saying like, here's my line here. These are the things that I think are okay. They're within my realm. Going past that line, not for me.
Mm-hmm. Learning to move from within much more than letting the outside dictate.
Yes. Setting your own. What are your expectations? And then how you put the blinders on so you're not worried about everyone else's.
So talk to me about this book you wrote that you guys are launching, because I want to hear more about what it is and what it sounds like and your perspective on it.
Yeah. So funny story. Guess who thought of writing a book? It wasn't me. Spoiler. So Tom has always wanted to write a book. Not necessarily the two of us together. He just kind of had it in his mind years ago, like, oh, it'd be great to write a book. Obviously not the right time. So we let life happen and we let business happen. And last year had an opportunity kind of come up out of nowhere. He had had the idea like, oh, this is the book I want to write, and had started putting together an outline and was like kind of talking to some people in our circles. Like, do you think this is a good concept? Like, I want you to poke holes in it. And so he went to a conference, Social Media Marketing World, and saw the panel. There's a panel with like Amy Porterfield, Dan Miller, somebody, I can't remember the other two people, but he went, he was with a friend of his that was in a mastermind with Amy. So like he wanted to support her. And afterwards he ended up walking back and Dan Miller was walking back by himself. So, you know, of course, Tom being the talkative guy he is, went up to him, was like, hey, Dan, loved your session. My wife and I are kind of thinking about writing a book. I would love to, you know, see if you've got any tips for us or anything. So, you know, talked to Dan for a little bit. And then Dan asked him, like, well, pitch your book to me. So, of course, Tom, being ever prepared, had the entire pitch in his head, told him about the book we were thinking about writing. And Dan turns around and pulls a sheet of paper out of his briefcase. And he said, I just started an imprint company and I want to publish your book. And so Tom was like, okay.
Wow.
So, you know, Dan was like, I can't guarantee anything. You know, the publisher that I'm working with, they get a bunch of submissions every year, but we'll put it in and, you know, I'll put my stamp of approval on it and we'll see what happens. So a couple months later, we hadn't heard anything from the book team and reached out to follow up with them. turns out they had been waiting for like one thing to submit it to the board. And then they ended up going out with a couple surgeries. It was a husband and wife team that took our submission. And so we followed up and they're like, oh my gosh, we've been out of the office. The board came back. They loved the book. They want to move forward.
Oh, wow.
So this was in August of last year, 2018. And then they were like, oh, well, so how quickly can you finish it? It's like, we didn't even write it yet. Tom had written a couple chapters. We had had some like cornerstone blog posts with some of our content that was really foundational pieces. So those were going to be part of the book, but like we hadn't actually written the book, but we didn't want to wait because they told us if we don't get it done by a certain time, we go on the book company's sales seasons. So if we didn't get it to them in February, it wouldn't have been published until 2020.
Oh.
So we were like, whoa, okay, well, that's really long. So we, 90 days, we wrote it in 90 days. And then we had to get it edited. And then we had to go through all the revisions and go through like the whole publishing process. But we got it in time and it was officially done. And it'll be released October 29th of this year, 2019.
Oh, man. So is it like having a child?
Kind of, yeah. It's like a book baby. And for us, it was really tough because Tom had he had the plan, he had the outline. He was like, well, do I just write it? Or do you write it with me? Or like, how do we do this together? Because again, couple dynamic, I have a different style than he has. And we really wanted this book to be the impact for the readers. We wanted it to have people read it and come out with results, with an action plan, like things they could actually use. We don't want it just to be some other random business book out there that people read and were like, oh, okay, that was kind of good. Now I'll move on to the next thing. We wanted this to be like life-changing. So we talked about it a lot. And the concept that we ended up coming up with was the six sections that we had in the book were kind of like the important learning points. And we each wanted to kind of tell the story to give people context and to kind of show them a little bit of like, here's how we went through this, or here's how we knew that this was something we had to work on. So we ended up deciding, okay, let's each tell a story from our perspective. So each section, the very first chapter, has a story from Tom's take and a story from Ariana's take. And then in the next section, the next chapters afterwards, we work through the learning portion, the training piece, and that's in a collective voice. So the rest of the book, other than those chapters where we tell a story, is written from one voice. But we thought it was really important to include those because, as we just talked about, our journey was very tumultuous and we had a lot of things that we had to go through being with the entrepreneur and the non-entrepreneur. And that's a theme that we've heard from a lot of people. So that was something where we were like, it's really important for all the entrepreneurs reading this book to kind of get the other spouse's mm-hmm. perspective and to like flip the switch for them to be like, this is why your spouse is having trouble supporting you. And here's what we went through. And then the same for if somebody is an entrepreneur, like they could show them this book and be like, look, somebody gets you. Somebody understands what you're going through. And this is how they worked through it together to get on the same page. So that part was really, really important for us. And then a lot of people laugh because the book actually doesn't start out talking about business. The first two sections are not about business at all. The first section is about life and how to get on the same page, how to figure out what it is you want in life. And then the second section is all about money, because we've found that personal finance is one of the issues that people struggle with as they're trying to start a business or grow a business. And you kind of have to have some of those things figured out before you jump into the business world and are trying to figure out what to do there. So the business doesn't start till the third section of the book, which a lot of people are like, huh, interesting.
But appropriately named Lifestyle Builders, though, yes. Because it is... As much as people want to say that there has to be a balance, and it's not two people. You individually, you have a business and you have a life, but those are so commingled, you know, and the definition of what that commingling is individually yours. you know, for mm-hmm. what that all looks like for you. So you really can't take the lifestyle out of the business.
No,
really.
You can't follow someone else's plan either.
No.
And that's what I think a lot of people struggle with in the space, in this entrepreneurship world, is they're trying to take what other people have done and like mash it into their life. Like, well, so-and-so did this, so we have to do this. And what we really wanted to give people was a framework to work off of that they could use the tactics and strategies that we had used, but it was more to figure out what their plan looked like instead of saying like, you have to do this and then you have to do this and then you have to do this. It's like, no, figure out where you're starting, figure out where you want to go. And then you put your plan in place in between there, and it's going to be uniquely custom to you.
And I think your book is going to be a fresh perspective because the entrepreneurial space right now is in flux. We are charting waters that we've not been in. You know, for decades, the entrepreneurial world looked very systematic and different than it does now. And so so many people want to say it's different. You leave, you know, you need to just separate it. You can't.
No.
Not anymore.
It's not, there is no, for us, there's really not a separation of work and life. Sometimes there has to be boundaries, sure, of course, but like our life is now helping other people figure out how to run their lives. Our business is part of our life. Like that, it's really interchangeable for us. Mm-hmm. So while we're very, very serious about setting family time on the calendars, like taking time away from the business, it's not like we're sitting down to dinner every night and the business doesn't sneak in there. Cause like that's our livelihood. And exactly, we're trying to make an impact with other people, which is kind of part of like our personal goals. It's not just about building the business to make the money. It's about building the business to make a bigger impact in the world and to make a bigger impact on our kids' lives. So you're right. It's all really commingled. So I think that adds a level of complexity on that's really a struggle for people to work through because not everyone's talking about how to do that part. And that's what's been really important to us the entire journey that we've been on.
Well, I appreciate the time and the dedication you guys had to putting this book out in 90 days, which is no small feat, but at the same time, you're going to change lives. Your book is definitely going to change lives. And I appreciate that. And I look forward to your book being released as well. Tell me one thing. How do you define success for you?
I think success for me very much has changed to figuring out how I contribute value and doing my best, making my best effort to constantly grow in that area. I think level of success in the home is having a happy, healthy, fulfilled family that doesn't put our definition of success on what we have or what we've accomplished per se. It's more our family unit and are we functioning well as a family unit together? Are we each having our own personal development? That I think that's my definition.
Has the entrepreneurial journey changed you as a person?
Yes. It's funny. We went to a conference a couple of years ago. So that was part of the journey too, is like in the online space, going to conferences is a thing. And when we went to, I think it was Funnel Hacking Live, back in 2017, we met with friends of ours from the online space. And then we went back the next year and one of our friends reached out and said, I don't want this to sound insulting, but when I first met Ariana, she was like a little mouse hiding behind Tom. And the change that I've seen in 1 year is just amazing. And like when she said that, I was just like, I never thought of it that way. But if I look back and reflect on myself, like she's 100% right. I wasn't sure who I was and where I was supposed to be or how I was supposed to be adding value to people. So I just hid. I hid behind Tom and I would like pipe up every now and again and like give something. But now the difference has been just, I can't even, sometimes I look back and I'm like, how did I get here? It's just amazing to me, but that's, you know, like that is what going on this journey, especially with the love of my life, my other half, we have each kind of pulled each other up to different levels at different seasons in our life. And I look at Tom and like, he's a completely different person than when we first started these businesses 11 plus years ago. And each time things have changed, like becoming parents changed us, jumping into the online space has changed us. The journey that we've gone on personally has changed us. So for sure, I am definitely a different person.
What a beautiful story though. What a beautiful journey and transition for you and for you and Tom, because you guys are the epitome of just a stand-up entrepreneurial couple. And it resonates. It really does.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you found your groove.
Me too. Girl. Took long enough, dang it.
So tell me, I want to honor your space and time in today. So tell me where we can find you. Where can the listeners find you and connect with you?
Yeah. So you can find us at wearelifestylebuilders.com. And from there, you can see the podcast and information about the book.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on today, Arianna. This has been enlightening, amazing, and just neat to see who you are and get to know you a little bit more. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on to share my story and my journey.
You bet. Listeners, I encourage you to check out and find Arianna. She is a force to reckon with and is bringing so much to the world. As always, make sure you link in the show notes or click on the links in the show notes and go see what she's up to, strike up a conversation, grab a copy of the book, and as always, keep moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the Fem Nation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.